Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Let me give you one taste of what one listener is saying to us. I am devastated to learn of the news from RTE this week. I have sympathy for the other journalists and staff in RTE doing their job. So says Bernie. Well, the Erechtis Media Committee held a special online private meeting this afternoon to discuss the crisis at RTE and payments to its star presenter, Ryan Tuberty. Separately this afternoon, trade union members in RTE held an emergency meeting following revelations that the broadcaster had for several years declared misleading pay for the former Late Late Show host. To discuss all of this, I'm joined by Ciarán Cannon, who's a Fine Gael TD for Galway East and also a member of the Erechtis Media Committee, and also by Seamus Dooley, who's Irish Secretary of the National Union of Journalists. You're both very welcome to the programme. Ciarán Cannon, may I come to you first of all. Has that special online private meeting of the Erechtis Media Committee, has that finished at this stage?
Yes, Cormac, it has, yes.
Okay, yeah. So and how did it go? What was discussed?
Well, as you've rightly pointed out, you've described it as a private meeting. That's exactly what it was. I can certainly share with you the thoughts that I shared with the meeting, and to say that there was a consistent message across the meeting from within the members of the committee, that we have a significant role to play in overseeing the governance of RTE, that we have a significant role to play in restoring trust in RTE, in our national broadcaster, an entity that our people trust to provide impartial reporting, impartial observations on matters in public life here in Ireland. And this revelation over the last 24 hours has capacity to completely undermine that trust and to chip away at the very foundations of our democracy. So the committee is going to issue a formal statement in the next 2 to 3 hours. And within that statement, as you might expect, there will be an invitation to RTE management and to the board of RTE to attend before the committee next Wednesday.
As soon as that, so before the summer recess?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we cannot leave this lingering. We cannot leave this gaping hole in the public's trust in our national broadcaster without working together collectively, the committee, government and the board of RTE to restore that trust.
Will it be a general invitation to RTE for them to choose which executives to send, or will you nominate people that you want to talk to?
We are going to invite the people who have been responsible at the very heart of this decision-making process that saw these payments being made.
But the difficulty is nobody knows at this stage who is responsible. We don't know, and it's pending a full investigation as to, well,
Somebody sitting in an office down a corridor from you, Cormac, knows exactly who's been responsible for these payments. They know, you know, why these payments were made. They sought deliberately to conceal these payments. So those people are sitting right there in that building with you at this point in time. So somebody most definitely knows who arranged these payments. And those, and indeed the board, members of the board, need to come before the committee, both the PAC and the media committee, to begin to restore that process of trust. I mean,
just to be clear, do you mean the RTE board or do you mean the executive board?
Both the executive board and the board of RTE itself.
Can I ask you, we heard today, we learned that the director general of RTE has been suspended last Wednesday. Will you be seeking her attendance at the committee?
If she had a role to play, and one suspects she did, she's been in role now, for 10 years.
Just to be clear, we don't know that for sure. We don't know anything for sure at this stage.
We don't.
Will seek her attendance at the meeting. So can I ask you, what if all of the senior executives in RTE attend and they say to you, I'm just saying what if they say to you, we didn't know about this? Where do you go from there?
Well, that's not plausible. It's simply not plausible that somebody within senior management in RTE not alone didn't know about this, but there were active participants in making this happen. That's the simple fact of the matter. This could not have taken place without somebody very senior within RTE sitting down with the broadcaster concerned and his agent and negotiate this deal outside of the normal, negotiations process.
Will you be taking them at their word, or will you be seeking some kind of documentary discovery here?
Well, I think in addition to that, I think at this point, Cormac, we need to see beyond the audit process that has already taken place that revealed these payments. We need to see a full independent audit of all of RTE's finances. Because right now, if you ask me as a citizen, as a licensed fee payer, do I trust RTE in the management of our public money? The answer is no. I don't, and neither do the vast majority, I would argue. And that's a really dangerous place to be taking
our country. I do take that. And an awful lot of people are making that point to us directly here on the programme, 51551 as well. I've read just one text from a listener, and people are welcome to send us more. Can I ask you, and I'll come to Seamus Dooley of the NUJ in just a second, and I know the NUJ and trade union members here and non-members incidentally held an emergency meeting on the RTE campus as well today. Do you think the money should be paid back in any way?
I think it should be, ultimately, that's a decision for the broadcaster himself. I think he should seriously consider it. And perhaps that should be part of the restoration of trust process. But, you know, there are far bigger questions to be answered here. The agent managing the broadcaster also manages some other very, very serious and senior broadcasters within RTE. We need absolute reassurance that they're not involved in similar arrangements. I would argue, Cormac, that we need, as we do have for politicians in this country, we need a register of interests of our broadcasters. If we have broadcasters who have, in essence, a secret, undisclosed deal with corporate entities, you know, and there are, whether they exist or not is in question at the moment. But if they do, well, then we have to question the transparency of that. We have to question their impartiality in reporting on all matters. And all of these things, I think, need to be brought into the public domain.
And can since you raise it, to be absolutely upfront, since you raise it, I should say that I was represented a number of times by NKM for work outside of RTE, but certainly not in discussions with RTE, and only rarely and on a couple of occasions.
And nobody has an issue with that whatsoever.
No, but I know you're raising another point. Can I ask you then, before I come to Seamus Dooley, I just wonder if there is a written agreement somewhere about all of this between the sponsor and RTE, and if there is, would you like to see that published or furnished to the Edifice Media Committee?
Of course he would. And that would be just the beginning of the process, seeing that agreement, you know, making us aware of who was party to the making of that agreement, and ultimately beginning that process. And it's going to be a long process. I mean, RTE, RTE is going to be around forever. It needs to be around forever. It needs to be that entity that we can turn to in times of crisis, as we did in the recent past, to be able to trust them, to inform us impartially, to report impartially, to report without any outside influence from any corporate entity. Mm-hmm. That's what RTE needs to be. If we can't trust that, we then move to a point where, for example, what we see in the United States, an increasing polarization of media, where media are not reporting the news; they're actually setting the news, setting the political agenda, and that's the last thing we want to see. So this is a critical moment in safeguarding of the future of media and broadcasting in this country, and it needs to be treated as that.
And on that, before I come to Seamus, is there that we're in the age of mis and disinformation, Ciarán, and RTE has consistently over the last number of years positioned itself on a corporate level to allow the public or ask the public to trust the organisation in terms of authenticity, accuracy, truth, and news delivery. And I just wonder, in this age of mis and disinformation, if there is any sanction or any clear sanction for RTE for misleading the public and misleading elected representatives like yourself.
Well, the ultimate sanction, you know, and you know, RTE has made a case, a very strong case in the past for increased funding. I would have supported that case both publicly and privately, in the committee in particular. RTE makes the case consistently to the general public: we should all pay our licence fee and support what you describe as independent, impartial reporting. I think we're going to see the serious questions around that, right? We're hearing them already. You heard that lady, Bernice, speaking to earlier on. She's devastated. There are many thousands like her this evening, equally devastated. So the sanction, you know, may come with an even further undermining of the financial base of RTE, something we don't want to see happening. But, you know, it is now the responsibility of the people who are party to this arrangement to come clean, to acknowledge that they have a significant role to play in restoration of trust. And if they don't do that, well, then I have very serious concerns about the future.
Okay, stay with me, Ciarán. Seamus Dooley of the NUJ, you were at the emergency meeting today. I'm going to ask you about the statement from Ryan Tuberty in just a second that we got in the last half hour or so. Can you sum up the mood of that meeting, though, first?
The meeting was one of anger, frustration, resentment. There were journalists are not often lost for words, but there were people so angry that they couldn't speak. We have journalists working in Radio na Gaeltachta who are paid less money than English-speaking journalists simply by virtue of working Radio na Gaeltachta. We have journalists working in studios where there's no money for upgrading equipment. We have press officers who are waiting months for to have concerns about their pay addressed. And they're looking at this private arrangement and they're looking at a tone-deaf statement from Ryan yesterday, the implication of which is that he didn't notice this extra money. I don't know if that was his intention or not. So there is real anger there and understandable frustration.
Well, in fairness to Ryan, I think that the thrust of his statement yesterday was to say that he couldn't shed any light on how RTE processed the money. And what about his statement today then? He said that when you look from 2012 to today, his pay was cut by approximately 40%. He says, I have no responsibility for the corporate governance in RTE or how or what they publish in their accounts.
I don't accept that. I'm not going to cry for him in relation to the pay cut. What I would say is, and he does acknowledge, that the figures were wrong and he should have corrected it. The figures that were published by RTE in relation to the cut that he took and the earnings were there were wrong and he had a responsibility to correct that. I've made this
statement. Should he be back on air?
I have no view in relation to that. That's a matter for Ryan and RTE. I'd like to have him back on campus to hear the anger felt by his colleagues.
Are you calling on him to meet staff?
I'm not actually, because to be honest, it would be very easy to make this about Ryan Tuberty. And this actually is about corporate governance in RTE. I agree with Ciarán in part. I think there needs to be a comprehensive review of corporate governance in RTE above and beyond the Grant Thornton examination in particular, and I think there's a role for PAC in this, an examination of the practice of third party engagements. I don't see why RTE has to deal with an agent. I have a real concern about that. We've expressed that concern over many years. But I would also say this, it's very dangerous if the political view is that we administer some sort of punishment beating to RTE as a result of corporate failure rather than dealing with the corporate failure.
But how do you then, and I'll come back to Ciarán on this, what does accountability look like? And I'm getting text here on the screen from Sheila, for example, who says that the recent revelations have undermined trust in our public broadcasters. And you mentioned media in America, and I'm sure Seamus could as well. In this day and age, trust is absolutely crucial. Now, if this has been damaged in RTE, the national broadcaster, what does accountability look like in your opinion, Ciarán?
Accountability looks like those who were responsible for this arrangement, their long-standing employment with RTE needs to be considered. No, there's no question about that. Because if those who were, as I said earlier on, party to this, essentially seeking to deceive the general public, that's what was happening, can they be trusted in the long term to continue to manage the financial affairs of RTE and the contractual arrangements with its presenters and journalists? So I think they seriously need to consider their position, whomever was party to this organisation or party to that decision. So, you know, once we begin to engage with RTE, both through the media committee and through the PAC, there needs to be no withholding, because that, to be honest and to be frank, with RTE's previous engagement, I know with their own committee, there has been a reticence about sharing information, always cloaking it in the cover of commercial sensitivity. I think that day and I was well and truly over. Everything needs to be on the table and decisions need to be made about how exactly we restore, as Seamus said, restore that trust. This is fundamental to the operation of RTE. We have journalists like you, Cormac, and many, many others, both in RTE and indeed across all of Irish media, who spend years studying and working to try and build up their professionalism and the public's trust in them as impartial and accurate broadcasters and reporters. Your credibility has been undermined by this. There's no question about that.
And that's most unfortunate.
Yeah. That should not be the case. So, you know, there needs to be a level of personal responsibility accepted here. There needs to be a level of citizenship taken on board by those that were responsible for this, and acknowledge that perhaps the right thing to do by RTE and by Ireland is to walk away from this and say, I did wrong, hold my hands up, there's no defending of this.
Okay. Now, without prejudice to any of those statements that you say, I've just been handed a statement on behalf of Dee Forbes, who's the Director General of RTE, who's been suspended since last Wednesday, as we have been hearing in the news. Let me read you this statement. In response to the statements issued today and yesterday and today by the RTE board, I would like to make the following points. I have been fully engaged with the board since this matter arose in the course of the audit of the accounts. When asked in April 23, I participated in the review conducted by Grant Thornton to determine the full circumstances and facts surrounding two specific payments to fulfil a contractual obligation for the years 2021 and 2022. Yesterday was an extremely difficult day for all of us who care so deeply about the organisation, and the impact of these issues is a matter of profound regret. I am proud of my contribution to RTE over the past 7 years. Throughout my tenure as Director General, I have always prioritised what I believe are the best interests of the organisation in order to best serve the public. This includes pursuing a difficult cost-cutting agenda as part of implementing a wider strategic agenda, all the while navigating the unprecedented challenges of the pandemic. I will be making no further public comment at this time. And that statement issued on behalf of Dee Forbes, who's Director General of RTE. Can I ask Seamus Dooley of the NUJ for your reaction on that?
I'm not often lost for words, but I'm lost on this one almost, because what she does not tell us is how the contractual arrangements arose. And that is what we need to know. I have worked alongside Dee Forbes. I have had no reason to distrust or disbelieve her. But what she refers to is a contractual arrangement. The question that we're asking is, how did those arrangements
she
exist?
She says she's fully engaged with the board since this
she fully
arose.
Engaged in discussing the contractual arrangements. Is what she says. What I want to know is that over the period of time, who signed off on the arrangements in the first place?
She says she's fully engaged with the board since this matter arose. When asked in April 23, she participated in the review conducted by Grant Thornton to determine the full circumstances and facts surrounding two specific payments to fulfil a contractual obligation.
Yeah. But there are other questions there, because it goes back over many years. And I sat in front of Dee Forbes and received from her assurances that cuts had been made and percentages which were given, which did not take into account the special arrangements which someone at executive board level approved. And they are what I understand to be contractual arrangements.
Okay. Ciarán Cannon, a brief response for you to that.
Until we determine who was responsible for this arrangement, and they are made answerable to the Oireachtas and to the public in general, we are not going to get back on the road to restoring trust. And that's what I've been saying from the very beginning of this interview, Cormac. This is about restoring trust. It is I find it exceptionally difficult to understand how somebody who was at the very helm of RTE seems to not have been aware of this arrangement. May be the case, I'm not a party to the details of it, but that's exactly why we need the sort of engagement that we're hoping to have in the next 2 to 3 days. Because the longer this is left to linger, the more the erosion takes place.
In fairness to Dee Forbes, it is the first contribution from an RTE executive we've had since this story broke over 24 hours ago. We know that Adrian Lynch, who's the Deputy Director General, will be on the 6-1, and we'll bring you news of that when we get it. But there you go. I think this sums up an awful lot of the reaction from our listeners. An email from a listener says, this story is moving so fast. We, the public, are all still trying to understand it. There needs to be full transparency. Look, we'll work through it as far as we can from our point of view. Ciarán Cannon of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed. Seamus Dooley of the NUJ, thank you as well. You can text 51551.